Did you see the whip? It make her misbehave. And she staring kinda hard, make you misbehave. Never seen this color car, got her in the daze. Make her wanna jump, man, got her in the J's.
You're now tuned in to The Investor Show, where we teach simple wealth creation for the common investors with investment advisor, award-winning author, international speaker, and founder of Royal Financial Investment Group, Prince Dykes.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, this is The Investor Show. As always, this is your host, Prince Dykes, coming live all the way from the beautiful state of Denver, Colorado. No matter how you're getting this around the globe or around the world, don't forget to hit the like, subscribe, comment, share button, and follow the description box if you want to reach out to the show if you got questions and all of the good stuff like that. But as always, I don't have a lot of time. And I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're gonna jump straight into it.
You can catch me riding in the Charger. Ain't no challengers, it's a Dodge.
So as you can see in the description box or the title, or however you may see this, that we have a very, very special guest on the line today. Calling all the way in from I think he's in Pennsylvania. I'm pretty sure he's up in Philly. But he's calling all the way in, you know, 2-time Super Bowl champion, just won the Super Bowl this year here with the Philadelphia Eagles. Y'all know I'm not an Eagles fan, but hey, you know, congratulations to the Eagles. But But most importantly, we're going to sit back. We're going to talk to him. We're going to just sit back and talk to him, see how everything has been going with him. His start from coming from Georgia, as we all know, he played to winning the first Super Bowl with the Ravens and winning the second Super Bowl this year with the Eagles. We want to talk about some finances and his investing, his future, all of the good stuff like that. But without further ado, let me now introduce my guest, Mr. Danny Ellerby. How is it going today, sir?
It's going good, man. Going good. Just ready to slow down a little bit. Been on the move this whole offseason. I'm back home in Florida right now. I live in Florida.
Okay. Okay, you back in Florida? Okay. Are you going to be with the Eagles next year?
I'm a free agent right now.
Okay, you're a free agent. All right.
Ain't no telling yet.
All right. So now I want to ask you the question for people out there who haven't heard of you or who's not familiar with you. Can you get them familiar with
you? I'm actually from North Carolina, South Carolina, actually both. Where I'm from is I was born in Charlotte, South Carolina. It's like 15 minutes away from where I was raised in North Carolina. I'm back and forth between there, went to school at Georgia, graduated in 08, went undrafted to the Baltimore Ravens in 2009, played there 4 years, then signed my free agent deal down here in Miami with the Dolphins, played there 2 years, then with the Saints 2 years, and this last year I was with the Philadelphia Eagles.
So. Okay, nice. So, did you play with Noshon?
Yeah, Noshon played with me.
Yeah, okay. He said, "Nah, I ain't play with Noshon. Noshon played with me."
Yeah, I had him on his visit down there in Georgia. Yeah, that's my boy.
Oh, yeah. I just met Noshon for the first time, I don't know, about a week ago or so out here in Denver. I was very surprised to see him. Like, what you doing out here in Denver and everything? So, you know.
He got drafted out there and never left.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, I know you played down there in Georgia. You know, I'm a Georgia fan. And I was like, you know, I was very shocked to see him. So, you know, definitely nice meeting him. So now, you was an undrafted free agent. Now, legend has it that he was an undrafted free agent to the Baltimore Ravens coming out of college. And that you played like the first 2 weeks, then you got injured?
Yeah. And in training camp, I went through training camp and I got hurt. I got hurt the first preseason game.
But I heard that you had ball so hard that they still put you on the roster. That's true?
Oh, yeah.
Now, going to these Super Bowls, you know, and all the other good stuff like that, the Eagles, the only thing I got to give the Eagles, you know, first of all, I know y'all cheated the Falcons. You know, when y'all tackled Julio Jones in the end zone, that was a tackle, that was a pass interference. But, you know, hey, bygones be bygones. But the thing I really liked about the Eagles season is that, you know, nobody kind of expected you guys to get that far. You know, I was like, you know, you're not going to make it. Oh, Carson Winston went down, and, you know, now they got Nick Foles back in. Oh, this person's going to knock him off. The Vikings going to knock him off. Oh, definitely the Patriots going to knock him off. And you guys really made it through. How was that feeling getting that second Super Bowl and overcoming so many obstacles?
I think every Super Bowl team has to overcome obstacles. It was kind of like that with the Ravens. You know, Ray Lewis went down, and I think Suggs had got hurt at the beginning of the season. So we was without like our main leaders, like our main ballers, but we pulled through. So I feel like, it's always trials and tribulations that you got to go through. But, I mean, say that it's not how you finish, man. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And these guys, they played for each other, like with both teams. It felt like a family in the locker room. Guys got along. It wasn't no bullshit enough. So, when I first got there, I felt like it was a special team. Doug, he one of the coolest coaches I done played with. It's a young team, and he let those guys be themselves, man. He let them go out there and have fun. And, when you got a coach like that, that you know believe in you and know that you're a baller, guys would run through a wall for him.
Wow. Okay, and didn't know that. It showed on the field. It showed, how special you guys was on the field and stuff like that. Like I said, me being from Georgia, being a Falcons fan, and everything like that, seeing you guys, and I think y'all played us in second round. I think it was a semi or something like that.
Divisional.
Yeah, divisional. Yeah, it was in the divisional. We had went up to I wanted the Falcons to go back. To try to redeem themselves from that last Super Bowl that hurt. So. But
when you got there, you get there, you got to finish. It ain't guaranteed. Everybody thought Carolina was coming back. When you got your shot, you got to make it.
Yeah, because speaking of your shot, because when you won a Super Bowl with the Ravens in 2012, you never made it back to the playoffs, did you?
Never.
Nope. So you really got to seize the moment.
My first season down here in Miami, we had my first season after I won the Super Bowl, we had a chance to go to the playoffs. We only needed to win one game out of the last two, or we dropped the last two.
Wow. Man. Yeah. I don't know if you got the latest news, and I don't know if this is true right now, but this is hot off the press. They're saying LeBron James signed with the Lakers.
Going to LA? I seen it.
That's pretty. That was pretty quick. I'm like, dang, I don't think he took that many meetings.
So
now, what I want to get to over your years, you've been in the league now for about 8-9 years now.
This will be 10.
10 years. That's a long tenure. You've been playing with some of the greats, and you've done some great stuff yourself. And over all the years. Do you know, or do you have a figure of how much money you have amassed from the NFL?
Nah.
So the question is, when making your millions of dollars or whatever, I'm assuming, right? Is there anything that you invest in? You being a young man,
I'm a low risk kind of guy, man. I don't even gamble. So right now I'm all about building my budget, man. Basically all I do is like muni bonds, man. Trying to get a set budget. Low risk, low reward type deal. Just try to work within my budget and the money that I save during the year, reinvest that, and then when I get to a certain number, I'll be able to take more risk. But right now I can't do it right now.
So you're not really into the real estate game or other businesses, franchises. You're just more like, hey, capital preservation. Like, I just want to save my money, put it in something.
Right. Okay. I don't like to lose.
Now, the question is, what got you into muni bonds out of all things? I think you're the first person I ever had call in and say, most people be like, oh, real estate or. Like Mike Willie, he said livestock. That was pretty shocking. But muni bonds, that's my first time hearing about that. What got you in there? You just watching TV one night and like,
My financial advisor, the first thing I told him when I got one, I was like, I don't like to take risks, I wanted to be able to live off my interest and my money. So that was the best move for me, according to him.
Okay. Well, for people out there who don't know, muni bonds, he's talking about municipal bonds, they're tax-free bonds that are usually used by the state, the state use them. They usually, they're taxes for people, especially for wealthy people. They're great ways to get tax-free interest, and most of them get somewhere between 4 or 5% and stuff like that or whatever. And you know, it's a good safe haven, you know, a nice little bond with not that much risk, you know. Besides, I think, like, it's just the state paying you back, but that's pretty. Now, that's good for you now. What do you plan on doing in the future when, you know, if you don't play anymore, if you, you know, one day when you decide to hang the cleats up, what's next in line for Mr. Elderby?
That's something I've been thinking about now. I really don't know. I really don't know what I want to do after. And I'm just glad that I was blessed and able enough to make enough money to where I'm not in a strain right now, that I could just sit back, chill, and just see what I want to do and see what my next love will be if I couldn't play another down of football. But, I mean, as far as, like, I mean, building wealth, I got a couple of stocks that I got.
Okay, okay.
Do, but it's very minimal. But now, as far as, like, what the future goes, I really don't know.
Like, what stocks do you really, what kind of stocks you like, or, you know, anything that you can think of off the top of your head?
Really, I'm not sure. I know we was going to get into, because he know that I like doing the muni bond and stuff. He was talking me into doing, like, stocks that pay dividends. That's kind of basically in the same little category with what I'm doing now. But we only got a few of those right now.
Okay. So, you know, for the people out there who's listening, you know, he's talking about stocks that are paying dividends, something like a Ford or Verizon or AT&T, where they are, you know, probably like a blue chip stock that pays a dividend, which is a pretty big company that pays off your dividends to, you know, it's another way to, you know, it's really putting your money at more risk, but you have the possibility of the company doing well. And while the company is doing well, if it's not doing well, you can collect a dividend check. So that's a pretty good thing, too. Now, I see here on your Instagram, you have a camp coming up soon.
Yeah, it's my 7th annual football camp that I do back home. Okay. I know it's say ages like 6 to 17. I usually try to do it like 6 to 15 because I really, not that I don't want the high school kids out there, but by that time they're doing 7-on-7, and I'd rather just focus on the younger kids. Mm-hmm. And I don't want nobody to come out there on a high school team and pull a hamstring or something like that, doing something, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I just play for that. I just get the high school kids from my school to come out there and help with the camp, like take kids to the bathroom, keep kids in line and stuff like that.
Okay, great.
It's a free camp too, by the way. It's a free camp, and I invite, like, my friends that I play high school ball with, my guys that I play college ball with, some of my trainers, and of course my NFL guys come through too.
Wow, that's pretty cool. You know, so how can people get involved with that or figure out, and you know, and also on top of that, what got you into doing the camp?
Back home, man, I'm from the country back home, man. We ain't got too much of nothing going on around there. And where I'm from, it's small. It's very small. And we got a lot of gang activity and stuff around there. So I'm trying to just go back and be that
part.
Positive influence to the kids, man. Show them that they could be successful if they just focus and do what they need to do. I got other things that I do back home, too. I do like a back to school drive. I do like a Christmas shopping spree. Yeah. I do stuff on Thanksgiving too.
Okay. All right. See, Danny, love the kids putting on for the city. You know, that's pretty, that's all right. Now, the thing about it, like coming into the league and when you got your first check and stuff like that, did you ever make a bad investment? Like, you know, what is something that you look back on and say, dang, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that, you know, that was kind of dumb. Or, are you being a very conservative guy that you're like, hey, you know what, I don't play with my money anyway, so no.
See, I was a free agent, so I didn't really have no real check coming up, so, I mean, it wasn't like I could go out. I think all NFL players that come through that really ain't used to having money that first year get a little out of control, but, I mean, I'd be like, I went to party this much, but other than that, I really didn't invest in nothing crazy or do nothing crazy like that with my money. I told you, man, I always been low conservative. Risk. I don't like to lose money, man.
Okay, I see. Now, like going into the, you know, once you're out, do you think you'll just live off of your wealth that you build, or you think you want to do anything else that'll generate income, or you just kind of like, you know, just sit home with your kids? Because I see you got your kids and everything. So, and if you're probably just like, hey, you know what? I'm not an NFL now. I just want to go home and just relax.
Honestly, I don't even think I can answer that one right now. I mean, the way I feel right now, I know it's not over. I know I got a market, so I know I'll play again. But as far as, I don't really don't know what I want to get into as far as like career, my second career. Yeah.
Okay. Now, what advice you would give maybe to that rookie that just got drafted, or that aspiring, that kid right now that's in Georgia that's playing, that aspiring to go to the NFL or something like that, or maybe even parents? What advice would you give that kid if they're listening right now?
My advice for a kid that's in college right now would be different than somebody in a league, because I feel like, from my background and guys that come from my background, we don't know. I mean, our financial literacy is terrible. We don't nobody teach us about money. They tell you to save, but they don't tell you how to save. So I feel like if I could do it all again, I'd take a couple of finance classes. You know, they ain't got to be nothing too high up or too crazy, but I definitely have to try to do a little background in finances so I know at least like what's going on and stuff like that. Like now, I got a good, I got a good financial advisor. He he educate me on stuff. He just don't tell me what to do. He try to educate me and walk me through the process so I have an understanding. And I mean, for a rookie, I have to tell him like they told me. I mean, the biggest thing is just learning how to say no. Because me, I was a free agent. And I had people coming to me like all first round. them 250s, them 500s, them $40, all that add up. You'll be surprised. They'll be surprised how much it add up.
Oh, look, little $20 here, $40 here, you know, $30 here. That stuff adds up over time.
Oh, yeah. If you got three people asking you a week, you know what I'm saying? It definitely add up.
Got it. Okay. So that would be the most advice you would probably give them?
For the rookie, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, take care of that.
Okay. Well, that's good. You know, I hate to see that, you know, you hear the stories of players and professional athletes and people in general that run into financial issues. That always puzzled me, you know. Because, you know, to the regular everyday person, we like, man, we get $1 million, man. Psh. I never work again. I do X, Y, Z. So, and that's smart. I heard, I'm pretty sure you know Calais Campbell. And that's what one of the things he was saying, too, is that, hey, you know, I just want to just save my money and let's live off, live off the interest. You know, let all my checks and stuff like that be the principal and just live off the interest. And whatever that interest gives me, I just budget out of that interest and live life that way. So, yeah. I'm glad to see that you guys do that, you know, and stuff like that. But I did want to ask you one more thing. It might be a little controversial.
What's that?
You can answer it if you feel. With the latest things going on right now in the NFL, with the new ruling coming out with all the anthem and stuff like that, you want to speak on that?
I don't know the details, but I think they said that if we don't want to, we could stay in the locker room to after it, right?
Uh-huh. That's what I heard, too.
So, I mean, me personally, I'd probably just stay in the locker room or something like that. I feel like the men and, I mean, it did what it was supposed to do. It was supposed to bring awareness to the situation, and I feel like that's what it did. So, I mean, the people that got an attitude about it, they definitely not listening to the reason why, or, you know what I'm saying? So, it's going to be controversial and people going to have their own opinion about it. But me personally, it's not that I don't care, nothing like that. But I know the type of person I am, and I just don't see myself going back and forth with somebody that I'll never meet or a kid on Instagram or something like that trying to get my opinion across the nail. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That type of guy.
I just can't do it. I do too much talking, man. Oh, man. So, but yeah, that's good, you know, that you gave your opinion on it, your thoughts on it or whatnot. You know, like I said, I never played a day of pro ball or high school ball, so I don't know what I would I know what I would probably do, my personal opinion, but I know you guys live it, you know, you guys see it a different set of eyeballs and, you know, being out there. Did this past year, did you kneel and all that? Did you participate? Or, you know, because I know that was a pretty big distraction for everybody.
Yeah, I didn't kneel. Okay. I just stood in the back, waited for it to be done, did my stretching or whatever, waited for the game. But this was like the second year of the kneeling?
Yeah. I think this was like the second
year, or this was the first year. This is like the second year, right?
I think this is the first year kneeling.
Oh,
is it? I think it is the first
year. That's
when they came out with all the rules and stuff like that. You know, but I was thinking you wouldn't know, you'd be out there every game.
See, I had got cut at the beginning of the season. I was with New Orleans, and I had got cut at the beginning of the season. So I came to Philly like halfway through the season. So all the stuff was already going on and stuff like that. So.
Oh, you had, like, I had other things to worry about. I wasn't worried about no knee and all that other good stuff.
Yeah, man, I wasn't even watching football.
Wow. I'm right.
I try to get away from the game in the offseason. So my love for the game will stay there. I don't try to just football myself out. Because I put so much into it during the season that I just want to break.
Now, if you had a chance to pick what team to go to, what team you'll want to go to?
Wherever I'm going to start and wherever I'm going to win at, I'm trying to get another ring.
Oh, you want another ring?
Yeah.
Who you think got the best chance to win a ring?
I know Philly got a real good chance, but I mean,
how can you say Philly? Y'all don't even know who your quarterback going to be.
It don't matter. Whichever one they put out, they're good. So that's the good thing about it. You got two starters. If one can't go, the other one done got you a ship. So, hey, you know what you got out of both of them. So.
Okay.
And plus defense on point. So, I mean, you got a chance to win when you got a defense like that, no matter who you put that, though.
You think Eagles number one defense?
Yeah.
Well, I need you to call Atlanta, man. We need
front
some help
seven,
out
definitely,
there.
Definitely front seven.
Oh, the front seven is the best in the league?
Yeah, our DB is nice, too. But I know that D-line is just crazy.
So y'all, you know, you think you give Atlanta a call and tell them, you know, because we need some help out there, you know, especially on our defense.
Y'all got two good linebackers, though. Y'all linebackers are good.
But it's just
I like them young boys.
What are we missing? We missing something out there.
Yeah, I ain't watched y'all. I don't think y'all offense did good like they were supposed to do this year.
Yeah, but our defense sure ain't hold up in that Super Bowl. We're like, come on, man, just one stop, knock the ball out the air, do something, somebody push somebody, something, anything.
That's when coaching come into play. You keep them boys off the field. You know you going? Hey, look, offense got to get it done. Y'all had like the top offense in the league there, yo.
Yeah.
You tell offense, you got to keep the ball on the field, keep the defense off. They're struggling, though.
Well, that's a pretty good strategy.
That's why it's a team game.
I was out in Japan at the time, out in Tokyo. I was watching the game like, man, you know, this might be the Falcons' year. And, you know, man. But so being out there on the field, versus watching the game, what's the difference in it?
You say be on the field.
When you're on the field – playing the game versus when you're like a fan, like when you're at home and you're watching it. What's the different, you know, the difference between it? You know?
Man, it's second nature for me, so it'll be hard for me to really explain it. But I know, like, for a while, like, when I first got in the league, like being on the field, I don't really watch football games like that. So being in the film room, the main thing is when you're at the game and when you're on the field, you get to see everything. So people at home watching on TV, they only see what the TV wants them to see. So there's a whole lot more going on in between the plays and during the plays that people on that's watching TV don't see. So that's now
break that down. Give me an example of that.
Like an example, I mean, the camera can only catch so much. So I mean, it might be somebody getting, getting like
dust
killed out there, but you're not gonna see it on TV because they gonna show where the ball going. So it's stuff like that that players that's out there watching know who really, really good and who they trying to make look like they, you know what I'm saying? So
you could be a defensive back.
Really don't see everything.
So you could be a defensive back getting burnt, but nobody'll know because they threw the ball to the other side of the field.
Right. Or somebody somebody done made somebody fall, or somebody done dumped somebody on their head, or something like that. Like, you don't see that.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. So, now to all the people out there, since you played in the league 9-10 years, I always get this question, people, you know, like even my daddy said, do the games be fixed?
I would hope not. I was a part of the Super Bowl where the lights went out, and you know that the whole game changed after that. So I mean, I have my reservations, but I just don't see what, like, it's our livelihood, and I don't think no player put in all that work to go out there and just give up a game, especially not no Super Bowl or nothing like that, or a playoff game. So if they try to fix the game, I can't speak on that. But from a player perspective, we out there trying to get to that ring. We out there trying to get to the money. So,
got it. Okay. Okay. I wanted people to hear because, you know, hear from you guys. But I know it's I want to thank you for coming on. Finally got a chance to get you. I know I have been trying to work it out to get you for a little minute, but I know you was in the season. And I was like, oh, the Eagles about to lose. We can get them then. Dang, they kept winning. And it was like, oh, he in the season. I'm like, oh, man, you know, the Falcons about to knock them out. I'll talk to them next week.
Man,
you know?
Look, man, y'all need to worry about those Saints, man. Y'all need to worry about them Eagles. Y'all got to see them Saints twice. And y'all got to see the Panthers twice. That's what you need to be worrying about.
Yeah, I don't.
But y'all do play us the first game, though. Yeah, well, play them the first game.
Well, you got to think about it.
Since I don't want to ring with
them. All my in-laws are Eagles fans. You know, my father-in-law, they're from Redding, Pennsylvania, up in that area. So they're Eagles fans. You know, me being originally from Georgia, you know, I'm a Falcons fan. So I don't know what it is. You know, of course, the Saints, that's our biggest rival. Marcus Colston was on the show like 2 months ago. I know you remember him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was on the show a couple weeks ago. So, you know, I had to let him know, like, man, you know, remember seeing him twice a year and having man, that rivalry deep. And you played for the Saints, too. So,
yeah,
you definitely know how it goes down. But we'll see. Drew Brees getting a little old, you know, so we rely on that.
But they got that boy Kamara. He from the A. That boy good.
What position is
Kamara? 41, the running back.
Oh, yeah. He real fast, too, huh?
Yeah, that boy good. The first day he got there, he was making plays. I was like, yeah. I ain't seen so many rookies came in making plays like he was.
My man looked like a little Sproles in a way. It seemed like y'all do the
quick. Yeah, he's taller than Sproles, though.
He looked taller.
Sproles a whole different dude, though. Sproles different.
Sproles like the Mugs and Bowls of the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of like, this guy don't supposed to be playing, and you know, but he did his thing. He did his thing in San Diego. He did it in New Orleans and in Philly.
Yeah, the people don't realize he's small, but he's strong.
Oh, he's like, you seen him in the gym?
I haven't seen him, but I heard about him.
I mean, you got to have, you know, to be playing at that level, you know, I gain a whole lot of respect when I talk to you guys and see what you guys got to go through and training camp and all the stuff like that. You know, people on TV, we watch the game and we'd be like, oh, man, you know, you watching a basketball game. Oh, man, that guy on the bench, he in a warm-up suit. He ain't no good. And I didn't know how good you got to be just to dress out.
Yeah. It's politics most of the time, too, unless you're just one of those guys that's just barely making the team and everybody thinking why you should be there. But for the most part, you never know, man. Like, a lot of people sit in the bench that could go out there and shine. It's just, you just got to wait your time sometimes. A lot of talent goes unnoticed.
With coaches and stuff like that, they got to, hey, you know what, we want to play this person and all this stuff like that. And
coach is human. They don't always play the best person.
I remember that's probably why I ain't never played in high school, huh?
Might be.
But yeah, definitely. Is there anything out there that you want to leave people that tuning into this? That's going to hear this and stuff like that. Anything you want to leave with them? Anything you want to say?
Not really. I mean, we touched on my camp. And basically, I mean, we get that out there. I know the registration are closed, but walk-ups are, you know what I'm saying, walk-ups are welcome. But okay. I mean, for the most part, I just want to thank you for having me.
Oh, no, man. Definitely, you know, I'm honored to have you on and finally being able to get you guys on, to get you on and say congratulations on your second Super Bowl. You know, people, some of the greats never even got a chance to even sniff a Super Bowl. So that's an honor. And if you had nothing else, once again, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Investor Show. Thank you guys for tuning in. Until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever you see me do crazy around the globe. Peace, be safe, and thank you.
Did you see the whip? It make her misbehave. And she's staring kinda hard, make you misbehave. Never seen this color car, got her in the daze. Make her wanna jump, man, got her in the J's. Okay, so they got the riding around in the Rover, riding around in the Rolls Royce. You know, Devon just got a little Charger, it's a little Dodge. Just a little something, you know, V8s and up. We don't do V6s. You know what I'm talking about? I'ma go and let everybody know what we riding in. You can catch me riding in the Charger. Ain't no challengers, it's a Dodge, bruh. Only V8s and larger. Ain't no V6 in my car. You can catch me riding in the Charger. Ain't no challengers, it's a Dodge, bruh. Only V8s and larger. Ain't no V6 in my car, yeah, bruh, yeah. Man, did you see the whip? It make her misbehave. And she staring kinda hard, make you misbehave. Never seen this color car, got her in the days. Make her wanna jump, man, got her in the J's. And I'm cool too, car color cool blue. If you had one of these, you'd be cool too. I be feeling like Tom when I cruise through. 5% tint, don't know who's who, but they peeping every weekend. See you in the Dodge, then I guarantee I'm speaking. It's really hard to hear when them speakers steady beating. We put the logo in the air like a beacon. You can catch me riding in the Charger. Ain't no challengers, it's a Dodge, bruh. Only V8s and larger. Ain't no V6 in my car, bruh. You can catch me riding in the Charger. Ain't no challengers, it's a Dodge, bruh. Only V8s and larger. Ain't no V6 in my car, bruh. Yeah, whip game proper. I'm a showstopper. Whip looking bad, boy, call it Big Papa. Looking like a bopper, mesmerized by the dropper. She loved the car more than your boy, I had to drop her. Every time I pull up, they really show the car love. I roll one deep, I should really join the car club. I keep it detailed, I really show my car love. It's touched by the gods and looking like a starstruck. Rims had to black out, camera when I back out. I always have to back in, never leave the back out. And I drive slow, X powwow, what that's about. I'm from Houston, Texas, where we always bring them slabs out. You can catch me riding in the Charger. Ain't no challengers, it's a Dodge, bruh. Only V8s and larger. Ain't no V6 in my car, bruh. You can catch me riding in the Charger. Ain't no challengers, it's a Dodge, bruh. Only V8s and larger. Ain't no V6. in my car,